Well, a very good morning, folks, and if I haven't met you, a very good day to you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and pray as we come to your word that you would lead us and guide us by your Spirit. And we pray that you would be our teacher. Help us to see things clearly and rationally if you have put them in your word. And help us, dear Father, we pray, to have a heart that would want to believe, to be open, and to hearing new things maybe. But help us, dear Lord, we pray, to listen carefully to what you have to say to us. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're around about Christmas time again, and I got to thinking the same question that I always ask at this time of the year. I ask it all the way through the year, but why won't people believe God's word? Why won't people believe the Bible? Especially that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again. Why don't people believe that? It seems to me that people believe the wackiest things, and some of the things I might mention here you may actually believe. You're a visitor, so you'll excuse me if you don't mind. People tend to believe the wackiest things, yet they won't believe this. And so I find an inconsistency which is there. I mean, for example, there's a program on television. I'm sure you may not have seen it. Maybe I'm the wacky one for watching it. But there's where a man who is called a medium, I don't know whether they have the women medium as well, but they supposedly speak to somebody who's dead. And then that person passes messages on to people in the audience. So the people in the audience, or at least half of them, have lost loved ones, and this guy mediates between the dead person's spirit and their family. Now, I don't know about you, but I actually find that quite hard to believe. As I say, you may believe it, but I actually find it, even though some of the people in the audience seem to me to be very intelligent and very rational people, but here they seem to lose their rationality in one sense. I find it hard to believe. A few years ago, Rosie and I went to, and if you've been at St. John's, you may have heard me say this before, but a few years ago, Rosie and I went to Hanmer, went for a day out in Hanmer, and while we were in the pools, we got talking to a guy, and We started talking about beliefs, and he started talking about what he believed about this world. And he believed that the world and all the people in the world were created by aliens and people from outer space. And he said that when we die, we get beamed up into a huge spaceship, and our soul continues on and on, and then presumably it goes to a bigger spaceship, and then it goes to another planet. I didn't finish then. It took me all my time not to laugh at this guy as he was talking. He was very serious, this bloke. And he was an intelligent man. He was a very well-read man. He was actually a computer whiz. Sorry about you folks who are into computers, but he was a computer whiz, and he was brilliant on computers. But that's what he believed. And again, I find that hard to believe. My point is that people seem to believe the oddest things, yet at the same time, they won't believe that Jesus is God's Son who died and rose again. I just find it strange. Which, by the way, there is tons of evidence for the fact that Jesus came, died on a cross, and rose again after 3 days. There's tons and tons of evidence for that. But people don't seem to believe it. Well, John, who was one of Jesus' 12 apostles, you might see it on the screen here, he wrote a letter in the New Testament. And you can see part of it on the screen. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. So John was one of the 12 apostles. He wrote a letter in the New Testament, and it begins like this. There it is. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and looked at, and which our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life." Now John there is talking about Jesus. That which was from the beginning means that Jesus always has been, because he's the Son of God. So yes, he came into this world as a baby, as a man, but he was from the beginning the eternal God. John also says there that he was the word of life. That is, he came to give eternal life, which means we don't have eternal life automatically. He came to give it. If we want life, true life with God, we must go to the word of life. That's what John's saying. So John is talking about Jesus. But look at what he says about him. That which we have heard, which we've seen, which we've looked at, and which we've touched. Why does John start his letter like that, putting so much emphasis on the fact that we have seen these things? We have seen it, we've heard it, we've touched it. Why does he put so much emphasis on it? Well, because he knows that it's hard to believe. He knows that it's hard for people to believe that. Just as the people who John wrote to 2,000 years ago, they found it difficult to believe. Yes, they did believe, but in one sense, it was unbelievable. That the Son of God himself would come to the world which he created, and that he would suffer and die to give us back life with God, a life which we forfeit because we walk away from God, that is incredible. It is almost unbelievable. When I first became a Christian 30-odd years ago, I found that very difficult to believe. But John says, that's what God has done. And he says, we saw him. John lived with this person for 3 years. He saw his power. Jesus healed thousands and thousands of people. John saw that. He said, we heard him teach about God and about God's kingdom. This is a man who'd never set foot inside a rabbi's school. He'd never been to the university in Jerusalem. He was a carpenter, yet he taught like no one has before or has since. He's changed the world with his teaching, this person. And John says, we saw him die on a cross. He was dead. And then 3 days later, we saw him again. He was risen from the dead. And that's what changed our lives. He changed us. He changed the world. And John says, unbelievable, but we saw him. We touched him. We lived with him. He repeats it in verse 2. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it. And that means that John wrote this letter that people would believe. And many did. And many have done for 2,000 years. Millions of people. But many don't. Why? Why won't we believe God? This was the problem with the Jewish people in the Old Testament. They often wouldn't believe God. The prophets would come and they would say, you're not living for God. And God himself warned them, if you don't believe in me and live as I want you to live, then you will face the consequences. But they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't believe God. They wouldn't believe that God would judge them. And so they took no notice of God. But God did judge them. Why don't we believe God? He always does what he says that he'll do. Why don't we believe him? You only got to read the Bible to know that he does what he says he'll do. He told Israel that if they don't turn to him, they would go into captivity for 70 years in Babylon. And if you read your history books, and if you read the Bible, you'll find that they did. By the rivers of Babylon, we wept. That's where that comes from. And that happened over and over again in the Old Testament. God told them what would happen if they didn't believe. They didn't believe, they just carried on, and God did it. That's foolishness, isn't it? But you see, we're the same. Deep down, we know that what God says will happen, will happen. How do we know that? Well, God said what would happen regarding the coming of Jesus before he came. It's right through the Old Testament. 800 years, for example, 800 years before Jesus came, it says about him in the Old Testament, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Mighty God and Everlasting Father. That was written 800 years before Jesus came. And there's hundreds of other prophecies in the Old Testament. A shoot will come from the line of Jesse. That's David's line, born of David's line. A shoot will rise from that line. He will be born in Bethlehem, was foretold. It was told by the prophet Micah, 500-600 years before Jesus was born. From out of you, Bethlehem, will come a ruler. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, when King Herod wants to find out where this baby is to be born, this Messiah, he sent for his priests, who took up the scriptures. He wanted them to find out where he would be born. So he says, tell me where they will be born. Find the scriptures. And they come back and they say, in Bethlehem of Judea. That's where he was to be born. Isaiah also prophesied that the Messiah would suffer and die a terrible death. Listen to Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with sufferings. Well, that's what happened to Jesus. that Jesus would die for our sins was prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah also said that he would die for our sin willingly. And Isaiah said it like this, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. When you read all the trial of Jesus, he hardly opened his mouth. Just a few words. Isaiah went on, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, though he had done no violence. Do you remember Pontius Pilate could find nothing wrong with him? He said to the chief priest, I can't find anything wrong with this man. All this and hundreds more prophecies that God promised about Jesus all came to pass. Every single detail. And when Jesus did come, God gave witnesses to make sure that people knew. He gave witnesses like this person, John, like this man, John. John says here, we saw these things. We saw them. So why are we like the Israelites and we won't believe God? And there's something very serious about all this. It's not just a game. God doesn't play games. When God promises something, whether it's good news or bad news, it comes to pass. And so why won't people believe? People know that there's a God. That is never the issue. They just won't believe and follow God. Why? Well, in my ministry over the last 18 years, I have seen four main reasons why people won't believe. Four main reasons. And the first reason is very simple. People can't be bothered. They just can't be bothered. Life is too busy. There's other things to do. I've got to go travelling. I've got to travel overseas and see this and see that and see the other. So I've got to work for money to get that thing. My career is too important. My business, my sport, etc., my travel. And they also listen to the modern philosophy or their friends who say, well, there's a lot of different religions around. They all worship the same God, and it doesn't matter what you believe in life as long as you do your best in life. As long as you don't judge people and stick to the Ten Commandments, well, you don't have to go to church and be religious. I can't be bothered. The second reason why people won't believe is this. They don't want God. Now that sounds a terrible thing to say. I didn't want God for 30 years of my life. There's times today when I just don't want God in my life. That sounds terrible, but it's true. People don't want God. Yes, they may mention God's name, and they say that they believe that God exists, but they don't want to live for God. They don't want God interfering with their lives. And that's what we see around us. People who don't want God in their lives. You see, I think deep down, people do know that believing in God is not just believing that he exists. I think people know that deep down. They know they should somehow be serving God or obeying God. But people don't want to. They want to live for themselves. They just don't want God in their lives. That's the second reason. The third reason is also easy. It's too difficult. Life is easier without God. Living, believing, doing, behaving as I want in this life is much easier than following God. Doing what I think is right is much easier in life. Living to my own rules, not God's, is much easier. Some years ago, I was talking to a young man, and we were talking about Christianity, and I asked him why he wouldn't become a Christian, and this is what he said. He said, I'm not going to become a Christian, Wally, because I'd have to give this up. I'd have to give that up. I couldn't go there, I couldn't go here, I couldn't do these things. It wasn't a matter of, is this the truth? And it wasn't a matter that he couldn't accept Christianity intellectually, it was the fact that he'd have to change. That's why I wouldn't follow God. The fourth reason is, and we're back to where we started, people don't believe that God means what he says. We think we'll all finish up in heaven. That's the idol of our society. That's what everybody believes, that we'll all finish up happily ever after in heaven. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you do in life, it doesn't make any difference. We'll all finish up in heaven. But friends, God never says that. God never says that. That's what we think. Well, these are the reasons why people won't believe God. But the question is, of course, what about you? Do you believe? If not, two questions. Two questions, not complicated. What do you believe? That's the first thing. What do you believe? And secondly, why don't you believe? If you told me something this morning, 99% of the time, I would be inclined to believe you. I hope you would me. And so I would be inclined to believe you. Well, John, who has nothing to gain by deceiving people, who in fact, when you read the New Testament, is very trustworthy and very reliable, he's a very honest man, he's got no axe to grind, he says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and seen, which our hands have touched, that is Jesus. And he says that so that you and I will believe. That's what he says it for. Do you believe him? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do find these things difficult to believe. But help us, we pray, to come at what you say rationally, logically, and then ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth. Help us, we pray, to be open-minded about what is said in the New Testament. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us a heart that would want to believe. And we pray these things, that your Son will be glorified. Amen.